And in our feature, yesterday marked a major step forward for connectivity in the Falkland Islands, with VSAT license applications now live, and Starlink officially permitted for personal use. It means customers who have ordered or are already using a Starlink terminal can now operate the equipment legally once they've registered and paid the 180 license fee. The news follows months of public interest and calls for improved connectivity across the islands, particularly in camp, where residents have faced challenges with internet speeds and reliability. I spoke with communications regulator Chloe Freeman to understand how this new licensing works in practice and what it means for customers moving forward.
I'm really happy as of yesterday to be issuing VSAT licenses again. I had paused issuing VSAT licenses on the 1st of December of last year, initially for a period of 4 months, which has been extended a number of times, but really pleased to finally be issuing them to people. If there's anybody who wants to apply for a VSAT license, they can go to the website vsat.gov.fk. On that website, you can create an account, and there might be a short wait whilst we approve the accounts kind of as they're formed. Once your account's been approved, you can log in, and then you can follow the processes on the website to get your license. If you have just opened a Starlink kit, then what you will need to do is find your kit number. It will be a number starting with the letters K-I-T. You input that into the website along with some other information like your name and address. You proceed through to the next stage. You can read the terms and conditions of the license, some guidance notes, and an investigation and enforcement policy. And then you can pay for your license online and through the Square system. And then you'll receive your documentation, and then that's you. That's your license issued.
So it's as simple and easy as that, then?
Yeah, hopefully simple, easy process. We haven't had too many issues reported so far. You know, I think sometimes, like with any online payment system, it can take a few times for that to go through. I would like to remind people that when they're registering, to make sure they do register their kit number, rather than there's a number of different numbers that Starlink has in their license. You can have like a serial number, an account number, but it's the kit number specifically that we're looking for that begins with KIT. For people who don't already have a kit but want to get their license before ordering them, which Starlink's website now requires them to do, there is an option on the website to say, I don't yet have a kit. So you can use that option, and then you can come back and add your kit number later. We're making some updates to the website to allow for that.
Amazing. And that's talking about new kits for people. However, if we've got people that have arrived here that already have registered kits to places like Chile or United Kingdom or everywhere in the world, how do they register their Starlink terminals here in the Falklands?
Yeah, so they can follow a similar process in terms of registering on vsat.gov.fk and making sure that they've recorded their kit number with my office. But they will also need to follow some of Starlink's internal procedures for transferring from a Chilean or a UK package onto a local Falkland Islands package. My understanding is that's kind of slightly different depending on which country you're registered to, or depending even what if you have a mini kit or a like residential standard size kit. I've asked Starlink to send out like FAQs to customers who might be in that position here. So in the first instance, if you do have any problems, you can contact Starlink's help centre. They're aware that there might be a number of customers in the Falklands who'll need their assistance, so they should be on hand and ready to help. If people have issues and questions and they've exhausted discussing it with Starlink, they're more than welcome to contact my office, and I will try and find someone in the community who might be able to assist.
And the reason why I'm asking is because Starlink does have this thing called global roaming, meaning that you're able to go around the world. But so essentially the rule is, if you have global roaming, you still have to pay for your £180 VSAT licence here in the Falklands.
Yeah, absolutely. From my perspective, from the regulatory perspective, my office is not so concerned with what packages people are using from Starlink. I'm concerned in terms of like data and consumer information angle, but from a licensing perspective, all that matters to me is that the physical kit has a license. The relationship that the consumer has with Starlink in terms of what package they have and what price they pay, that is a completely separate relationship, similar to the relationship between a consumer and Shaw. You know, that's between them and the company.
And how many VSAT licenses have been issued? I know we've only been one day in, but I can imagine you've had quite a lot of a busy day.
So we're just under 24 hours since we've been issuing them, and we've issued around 200 licenses so far, and we've got around 500 accounts have been made on the website. So I'm really pleased that people are responding so quickly to get their kits and their Starlinks kind of compliant with the new system. So I'm really pleased, it's working really well. I am getting lots of emails from people who need like help or assistance, and that's like brilliant. People can email me and I will try and book appointments with people or speak to people on the phone if they need any help with the system.
Are you expecting a high number then of people applying, or do you have a sort of an expectation? Or
I'm expecting at least a couple of hundred. At least 400 is my expectation.
And in terms of the Starlink licences, they are for personal use, aren't they? So, for example, if businesses wanted to have a Starlink licence, they couldn't use it to sell to customers or anything like that. Can you just clarify that point?
Of course, yeah. The personal use condition in the licence can be a bit confusing for consumers, so I'm happy to speak to that. So when you get a VSAT license, you are subject to a list of terms and conditions like you would be in any other license. And you can view those on the regulator's website. And also, if you've already got a license, you'll be able to see it in your account on vsat.gov.fk. But one of the key license requirements is that the license is for personal use only. Now, that can include business use, but what it limits is it limits people being able to use their VSAT to share internet with like another business or with another person outside of their business or outside of their household. If I, for example, was to get a VSAT license, I wouldn't be able to use my VSAT license to provide internet to my next door neighbor. Or if I ran a hotel, I wouldn't be able to use my VSAT license to provide free internet to my customers. And I know this has been a big source of concern, particularly for the tourism industry, but it is only personal use of VSAT equipment that is excluded from Shaw's exclusivity, so there is unlikely to be any change to that policy.
In terms of, at the moment, we have a complaints procedure. If we were dissatisfied with, for example, Shaw's performance. Is there a sort of a similar process that applies to Starlink and the VSAT license? So, for example, if Starlink wasn't at the standard that we should hope for, is there a sort of a complaints process for that?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that I've got anything kind of fully fleshed out at this point. What I will say is that we have a number of policies, including like consumer safeguarding policies and like enforcement policies for Shaw that will apply equally to Starlink. So similar with Shaw, if people have a complaint about Shaw service, they're first encouraged to contact Shaw to try and solve the problem, and then senior management at Shaw, if they're unsuccessful in resolving the issue, then the complaint comes to me. With Starlink, it would be similar. Like if someone was to come to me and say, you know, my service from Starlink has not been as it has been sold to me, then I would say, okay, well, first you need to go to Starlink to see if they can rectify that issue. And if that is unsuccessful, then I would take that up with Starlink at a sort of regulator to operator level. So it'll be a similar process, but I think I could do with publishing some kind of further information about that to the public in the coming weeks.
And will that be monitored as well as, so in terms of the complaints procedure, will there sort of be, I don't know, after every quarter or something, would know how many, with the performance of Starlink here in the islands itself?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that's a similar process to what happens with Shaw now. I think some of the details on this need to be ironed out. Now Starlink has a license. I suppose that's kind of the next phase of work for my office, is to make sure that how Starlink is operating here is transparent. I wouldn't want the public to expect like a quarterly report by the end of this year or anything like that, but perhaps in the new year that's something we could look to establish, that kind of data collection. Yeah.
And in terms of, we talk Starlink quite heavily, but there are obviously other additional satellite providers, and who knows, maybe in a few years' time there could be a new company that branches out. Is there any plans to allow any additional satellite providers or alternate services in the future, or through the VSAT framework?
Mm-hmm. Obviously the VSAT framework is established now. That was a bit of a barrier in terms of making progress with Starlink and licensing Starlink as quickly as we all would have liked, I think. So now that's established, that would make it easier in the future for another satellite provider. However, I haven't been approached at this time by any other satellite providers for regulatory approval. That doesn't mean that won't happen. It may do, and I would look at that application on its merits and have a look at how the telecommunications market is looking here. Obviously, it's a really, as we've discussed many times, it's a really small market here, so the slightest change can have a really big impact both on operators and on the options available for consumers. So these things do have to be managed a bit more carefully than they would be perhaps in a bigger population. I mean, that technology is moving quite fast. Obviously, similar with Starlink, there are restrictions on what can be available here based on Shaw's exclusivity.
Because the reason why I'm asking is because it's taken years, a long time, before I arrived as well, it's a long conversation that's happened.
Yeah.
And again, hopefully it wouldn't take the same process if another provider wanted to come along.
We have, when Starlink initially applied for regulatory approval, we didn't even have a form of license to issue them with. You know, that it just wasn't something that had been considered before. Particularly with, my understanding up until now in terms of telecommunications is that only like licenses with exclusivity have been granted. It was a lot of work to try and find a way in which we could license a new provider without infringing on Shaw's exclusivity. But now that that's been established, that barrier has been broken down. I would say, even if a new applicant was to apply today, these things do take, months. There isn't that long left on Shaw's exclusive license. So I certainly wouldn't expect there to be big changes in the regulatory structure in the next sort of 2 years. Whereas after the end of Shaw's exclusive license, it might look a little bit different, perhaps, based on sort of government decisions.
And in terms of people that are kind of unaware or have questions about VSAT licenses, there's a few meetings that you've got in the future, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I just published some information yesterday on various kind of events and drop-in sessions that I'll be having over the course of November. The first of which is happening this afternoon in the Malvina. I'll be there until 4 o'clock. And I'll also be in the Malvina tomorrow morning. If anybody wants to drop in, if they need help with their applications, if they've got questions about Shaw or Starlink or VSAT licensing, like, I'm happy to answer whatever questions I can. And if I can't, I will direct people to the person who I think can help them. We're also holding a public meeting on this Thursday, the 6th of November, between 5 and 6. That will focus on VSAT licensing, but also on Shaw's new packages. So I will be in attendance, as will the Director of Development and Commercial Services and the Chief Executive of Shore. So all three of us will be there to, I'll do a short presentation and then we'll answer questions. So that is at the Chamber of Commerce on Thursday, 5 till 6pm. And so you can check on my Facebook page for the details of that and also on my website, but I will keep it updated. If people can't come to any of those drop-ins or presentations but still have questions, that's fine. I'm also booking like phone appointments in with people, or people can come and see me at my office kind of privately. In terms of VSAT licensing and enforcement, you know, the drive is to make sure that everybody understands how to be compliant with the new VSAT licensing regime and to help people regulate their position. So I won't be doing any enforcement activity in November. From December onwards, I would look to do enforcement activity for people who are using Starlink without a VSAT license. Starlink will work with my office to do that. So I just encourage people to get in touch if they are having any issues, so we can make sure that everyone is all licensed and above board by the end of the month.
And final one, is it a relief then that this has finally got through? It seems a long time. Obviously, we spoke a lot about it.
Yeah, I'm really happy to be able to be issuing the licenses again. And lots of people have worked really hard to make that happen, including, you know, my colleagues in the Falkland Islands government's IT team who designed the website. Like, they've done a, you know, they've done a brilliant job. You know, lots of people in the government, lots of people in the Starlink petition group, lots of the team at Shore. Like, it's been a real sort of multi-team effort to get this off the ground. So I'm really thankful for people's patience and understanding as well with the length of time the process has taken. But yeah, I'm really pleased to get this up and running and to be able to finally kind of go around and speak to people about how they can get their licenses. So yeah, I'm very pleased.
That was Communications Regulator Chloe Freeman speaking about the introduction of the new VSAT licenses.